Good afternoon on the East Coast and good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and whenever you may be listening. This is The Power of Performance, the show that asks the question, if you're a brand, we're a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? And a long, long walk, but a short flight on the Millennium Falcon after Power FI Federal Credit Union. His name is Dr. David Tuyo. Hey, David, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Good morning, good afternoon.
Congratulations. Fourth or fifth time co-hosting the show, our regular host, Tough Talking Troy Hall, is a PhD candidate. We had a guest 2 weeks ago, PhD candidate Stephanie Zuliger, but after many, many years, and as you pointed out in your email, I think very fairly and honestly, many, many dollars, you have completed your PhD program and are Dr. David to you. You got to tell us, how does it feel?
I'm still in shock. You know, my oral defense was last week and still can't believe it. But for those of you that watched Back to School with Ronnie Dangerfield back in 1986, I felt like, you know, when the screamer Sam was in his face saying, you know, tell me, that's kind of how I was picturing it. But no, it's been a fantastic ride and very humbling. And now it's on to our next challenge. So I just registered for my first Spanish class, and our family will be endeavoring on a second language.
Wow, good for you. I look like I should speak Spanish, but I don't. But that movie is actually featured on HBO Go right now, and I watched it last Saturday.
It is a classic
movie. Hey, busy, busy show today. We are still dealing with sound and audio issues. Something has changed at Blog Talk. So it might sound a little different, even though the change was supposed to be better audio. So the name of the show today is Rebecca Roberts is on her toes. We had Miriam DiGiovanni from A Few Times on last week talking about women to watch, and Rebecca Roberts is one of those women that's creating the marketplace. But before we get to her, yesterday there was a rather unusual congressional hearing. Debbie Matz, the chairman of the NCUA, was talking to Congress, and we had, and as they always do, CU Times had a reporter out there covering it, and her name is Elizabeth Peace. Hey, Elizabeth, how are you?
Hello, thank you for having me.
It is. Oh, thank you. The studio audience saw your picture, so now they're clapping. They don't normally clap for the CU Times update. That's just the way they are. All right, you were there. Help me understand this. Okay, I don't believe there's any benefit to having the credit unions that they oversee and the NCUA having an ongoing contentious relationship. I don't see how that serves anybody. What in the world was she talking about? You were there. You tell us.
Well, I mean, honestly, I don't know if I can help anyone understand it, but I can explain what I saw, what I heard. It was a shocking moment, for everyone. The congressional members were, I think, a little bit shocked, a lot of outrage. The audience members, those of us who were just watching, I mean, there was a moment that did she just say what I think she just said? And upon being asked to clarify her statement, she said that credit unions do not represent their members. In the very beginning of the hearing, things were much calmer, she said at one time, but later on, Representative Mulvaney was allowed to question her a second time, and I think after that, I mean, we're going on an hour and a half of testimony, and maybe nerves were a little bit raw, but asked to clarify, she again said that credit unions do not represent their members. And at that point, that was when she said she does not feel that credit unions should have any say in the NCUA budget and in the process.
I had not heard that.
So was the comment from Chairperson Matz, was it about or regarding, was it specific to the budget process or was it just a general statement?
The first time it felt to be it was a general statement. However, they were discussing transparency and budgetary concerns. The second time it was said toward the end of the hearing, she continued to push back toward it being about the budget. And she then later clarified to us afterward that she really feels that credit unions maybe shouldn't be part of the budget process for the NCUA, because they are the ones who would tell the NCUA to cut back on certain things, yet the NCUA is regulating them, so they shouldn't be maybe cutting back on regulations and the things that they do, you know, to keep credit unions honest and in business. So she felt that maybe it wasn't a good idea to have the credit union so involved, but she stressed multiple times that she has not heard from credit unions wanting to be part of the budget process. Instead, she says she only hears that from the trade association.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that. If you'll do me a favor, Elizabeth, if you'll send me the link to that article, I'll happily put it in the episode page here after the show ends later this afternoon. I'm actually heading right out after the show. I apologize to you and Rebecca and David. I usually call people right back after the show and thank you for being on the show, but I'm heading down to San Antonio to pick up a rental car because I'm going out to Primeway Federal Credit Union next week in Houston, Texas, and that's going to be a lot of fun. But Elizabeth, if you'll send me the article, I want to read that because I hadn't heard that second thing. I hadn't heard that second part of it. And
now, has there been any time. Elizabeth, has there been any additional information that's come out since the article was posted? It's a fantastic article, by the way, at cutimes.com.
Well, a couple of things since then. We do have a couple of polls on the actual article now so that credit unions can weigh in and say whether or not they do care about the budget process. And so far, overwhelming response, yes, they do care about the budget process, and they very much do. Yes, they do feel that they represent their, you know, their members. She, and as well as Mark McWaters, both sent statements since then. McWaters, of course, was really quite upset with the statements, really disagreed with her. She had said in the hearing that overregulation was not the cause of credit unions going out of business. So that was kind of a raw moment for a lot of people. But then she just emphasized in a statement to us, you know, the importance of NCUA being an independent financial regulator so that it can protect the deposits of credit union members. So she really feels that the NCUA protects the members. And she really wanted to highlight how important it is that they are able to do so without, you know, credit unions being able to interfere.
I'll tell you what, Elizabeth, you guys always do the best job. I've said it many times in the show this year. All of the stuff you heard me talking about with the new browser and the studio and everything is all based upon kind of a technological overhaul we're going through here, Eloquent Online. I only have time to follow one news source with credit unions, and it's the CU Times. Sarah has been a longtime friend of this show. We want to welcome you to the CU Marketplace, and we will definitely be watching this because I don't even care about this kind of stuff. And I was like, what? Who do they represent? I would bet good money that outside of Mountain America and state employees and a couple of the gigantic credit unions, Ms. Matt could name a dozen $100 million credit unions for.
I think just for balance of the show, I'll take the other side of the argument or discussion for that matter. I think that it maybe go to some of the criticisms that they've received from the banking side and other regulators that sometimes NCUA has appeared to be too much of an advocate on behalf of credit unions versus a regulator. And so this, I go back and forth on this, but I think that, you know, looking at it from a balanced perspective, but no doubt if the comment was said over and over again, I think that hopefully there's some clarification made in the future.
Well, we'll find out about it. Hey, folks, we always have great input from the Credit Union Times folks, and we'll keep an eye on all that for you. And that's the real part of the credit union. That's the stuff that everyone has to deal with. And I will not mince words here. We've invited people from the NCUA on this show many, many times. We've been on the show on the air for over 6 years. We've had some of the biggest names in the credit union marketplace on this show, and of course some of the most insignificant names, mine specifically, which is probably why they have a come on the show. But if she wants to come on and talk about this, we'll treat her very, very respectfully and with the normal curiosity that we show on the show. Hey, listen, folks, let's get to the fun part of credit union. Putting on a great live performance every day is something that our next guest knows about. Rebecca Roberts was going to be a professional ballerina. If you saw the pictures on the episode page, we're going to ask her about that. And we're going to ask her how she ended up at a credit union in Ithaca, New York, and as a woman to watch in the credit union marketplace. And we're going to ask her all of that right after this. pretty sure she's our first dancing queen on this show. Hey, Rebecca, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
No,
I love
thank
the,
you.
Really.
I know we went a little long with the first guest, but tell us about you and your career that's led you to this point with my CSCU.
Sure. Well, I started out, as you had mentioned, my goal when I was growing up was to become a professional ballerina. Didn't quite have what it takes to make it to that elite level, and that worked out well because now here I am. So after college, I went to graduate school and got my master's in education in student affairs, worked at a number of different higher education positions in the early part of my career, working with students and faculty and parents and college and university settings. And in 2011, my husband, who's also in higher education, was offered a position at Ithaca College. So we moved from where we had been living in downstate New York and started looking for new positions. My most recent position in higher education had been as the executive assistant to the provost at a university or at a college, and was interested in the position that I saw posted for CFCU Community Credit Union as executive assistant to their new president and CEO, who had just started a few months before. So was lucky enough to be granted an interview and then offered the position, and started as an executive assistant in June of 2011. And just really have had the opportunity to work on a lot of different projects, a lot of different initiatives, and last year was rewarded with that by being named our first principal of strategic initiatives. It was a new position at the credit union, and really kind of captures what I've been doing in terms of our strategic planning process.
Well, can you tell us a little bit more about those initiatives that are getting you that got you nominated for the Women to Watch with CU Times?
Sure. When I started at CFCU, we were in a period of a lot of transition. We had a new president and CEO who had recently come in after the former president and CEO had retired after a very long tenure. We were also in my first year on the job, we were going through a systems conversion, a home banking conversion, and a merger with a smaller credit union where we were the surviving credit union. So there was a lot going on and a lot of things to be able to get involved with. So just really got involved with as many things as I could and tried to learn as much as I could, as quickly as I could, about the credit union industry and about financial services in general, since I did not come from a financial services background. And then as kind of some of those initiatives died down, we had the opportunity to start looking at other things that we could do to improve the experience of our members and of our employees. So one of those things was to develop a new employee orientation program, which, based on my experiences in the higher education world of working in orientation type programs, I requested to be able to head that up and was able to take that program from start to finish and then turn it over to our HR department last year once they had hired some additional staff to be able to beef up that area of the credit union. So that gave me the opportunity to work with all of our departments, all of our managers, on developing the presentation and making sure that it was a comprehensive event for our new employees to really get them ingrained into the credit union world.
So in your
go ahead, David.
I was going to say, so in your, you know, in all these different projects, and obviously it was trial by fire and definitely an amazing learning journey that you've had there at CFCU. Have you developed a process for this, for your planning and for your projects? Is that, surely over time, each project you get better and better. I just didn't know if there's something that you've kind of developed a framework around now.
Sure. We use a lot of dashboards to track the progress of our projects and of our goals. So just about every major project that is in process has a timeline dashboard that also notes which departments or which players are going to be involved and at what point in the project. We also do a lot of departmental dashboards that we share with our board of directors to indicate everything from, you know, the number of transactions that are occurring via our electronic medium to, you know, the number of loans disbursed from a particular branch in a month. So doing a lot of kind of high-level tracking in that regard to make sure that we are as clear and transparent as possible in regards to where we are at with various things. I spend a lot of time with Excel. Excel and I are pretty tight. So we share a lot of information in that way, and I think the board appreciates the ability to see where we're at with numerous initiatives as well.
They are a $923 million credit union in Ithaca, New York. We're visiting with Rebecca Roberts, and you heard her talking about she had started on one career trajectory and is on a different one now, and a very, very good one as a CU Times woman to watch. But I wanted to ask you about the ballet, the pictures that you sent. I think one was from Cinderella and one was from Swan Lake. I actually thought about playing Swan Lake, you know, the theme, to bring you mm-hmm. on this show. Yeah, we're a rock and roll show here. We can't have Swan Lake. We want people to think I'm lost my head. I'm dealing with the audio issues as it is. I wanted to ask you the pictures that I saw of you were clearly from a professional production of some of these plays, Cinderella and Swan Lake. What are some of the similarities between putting on a great ballet live performance and a great banking live performance? Because all the credit unions in the Eastern time zone are open today and doing business.
Excellent. That's a really wonderful question, and I think there are a lot of similarities. The first being that whether you're in the credit union world or in the ballet world, everyone is important. It doesn't matter if you are the principal dancer or the soloist or a member of the corps or the stagehand backstage. Everybody is very important in making things run smoothly to making a good experience for, in the case of the ballet, the audience. And similarly, in the credit union world, everyone is important. Whether you're a branch manager or a vice president or a teller or somebody who's working in an operational area behind the scenes to make sure that those transactions are running smoothly, to make sure that those loans are being dispersed as appropriate, to make sure that you're meeting all of those regulations and requirements that credit unions need to abide by. Everybody is important. There, you know, at any one given moment, there may be somebody who is taking more of the spotlight, if you will, but it's a constantly changing thing. And, you know, if you're a member standing in front of the teller, that teller is the star in your eyes and in my eyes, because they are the ones who are making it happen. So everybody's really, really important, whether you're in the ballet or in the credit union. And the other thing I would say is just the practice that is required. You can't put on a ballet without having a lot of training and a lot of rehearsals. And in the credit union world, you can't roll out a product without having a lot of opportunity to test and to streamline and to get perfectly right before you launch it out to members. So that's really an important similarity as well.
Well, you know, I was reading the article that you had no idea that you'd ever become a leader at a credit union or in the credit union marketplace. And you read about how others have made the transition, you know, whether a friend of mine was a CFO coming over from Pepsi, and there's been a lot of different industry changes of how people get into the credit union movement. But, you know, what's your recommendation? How do we find and inspire more people like yourself to come into the CU space and earn their way into these leadership roles? Because ultimately we know that diversity of backgrounds is only going to make this industry stronger.
Sure. I think that it's really important to continue to educate our communities about the differences between credit unions and other financial service providers, be they banks or online entities. I think that the more that people understand what a credit union stands for and what a credit union can provide, the more likely they're going to be to attract and retain that top talent. We find it in our experience that we recruit and are able to hire a lot of really excellent employees because we're very involved in our community and get involved in a lot of community initiatives and do a lot of volunteerism. So those people who may be new to our area will see us and hopefully will think of us not just as a place to do their financial, not just as a place to meet their financial needs, but also as a place to, you know, work and to grow and to thrive.
Really, really cool, Rebecca. Listen, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we got a few more questions from you. We're visiting with Rebecca Roberts from if you want to find them on Twitter, it's at my_CSBU, and we'll be back with her right after I find the right button to push. Here it is. Talking about this the other day with you, when we did our first call before this show, and that is, you came to the credit union from a very different trajectory, perhaps, than some other people. I love the fact you have that higher education culture. You know, you heard me talk about Dr. David had finished his PhD program. Empirical thinking is something that can never be overvalued in the credit union marketplace. So with that kind of new person's vision of the credit union marketplace, what are some things that credit unions are doing well, and what are some things they could do better?
Okay, and congratulations, David, on your PhD.
Sure
that was a trying endeavor at times, but really rewarding at times. So
yes, it was. Thank you.
You're welcome. I think that credit unions are great at providing outstanding personalized service. I think that credit unions look at our members as individuals, as unique, and don't try to box them into products or services that may not be beneficial for them based on their own needs. I think we're also great at helping those members who may not be able to be served by larger banks or larger institutions because they've had some unfortunate experiences and their credit score isn't what they would like it to be. That we're really great at helping people get back on their feet and reestablishing themselves and meeting their financial goals. I think credit unions are also great at supporting the community through their sponsorship of nonprofits, through mm-hmm. their volunteerism. I think a lot of credit unions really try to give back. And in terms of what credit unions could do better, I think that credit unions should continue to increase their advocacy efforts. I think that it's really important for credit unions to have a voice in governmental affairs and to be able to meet with legislators to explain the benefits of credit unions and the benefits that credit unions provide to members and to the community at large. And that goes along with what I was saying before about educating people about credit unions. I think that we need to continue to be a voice and to share our story to educate members about why they should bank with a credit union.
Well, you know, along those same lines, what do you think, you know, given your time in the credit union space, why do you think credit unions are so humble about really effectively telling their story? I mean, we have this great story, definitely the best kept secret in the financial services industry, and somehow we don't tell that story. You know, what's your opinion on that?
Well, I think part of it is the nature of credit unions for the most part not being as large as some of the national banks. It's much more feasible for an institution like Wells Fargo or Citibank to be out there, to be everywhere, to for everyone to see them and know who they are. But because most credit unions are more localized, or even if they are a national credit union, they're not necessarily serving the entire country. Their membership bases may be different. So I think that that can be kind of a challenge to continue to get our voices out there. I think that it's really up to the credit unions within their own organizations, within their own communities, to be able to not be shy about sharing who they are, and to have their marketing departments write those press releases and get the local news media involved in some of the exciting things that are happening there, to just continue to spread the word.
Well, let me ask you, Rebecca, before we let you go, we always like to end the show with just a fun question about you and your experiences, where you're living and with your family. When you're not working, when not being a woman to watch in the credit marketplace or performing ballet, what kind of stuff do you like to do when you're not at work?
Well, when I'm not at work, I do enjoy dancing for fun. I don't really perform anymore, but do enjoy taking classes and basically anything about ballet, watching it, reading about it, learning more about it. I enjoy reading in general, and I enjoy spending time with my family. I have a four-year-old, and she's the one who really keeps me on my toes, and just like seeing her antics and spending time with my friends and family.
Well, we're glad you're part of the credit marketplace. I think you bring a very unique story and chronology to your career, and I think that's going to benefit the credit union right now, any credit union you might work at in the future. And on behalf of David and myself and Troy and everybody here at the Power Performance Radio Show, I want to thank you so, so very, very much for taking some time out of your day to join us. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
And Rebecca Roberts, everybody. Really nice. Man, David, 2 minutes left on the show. It's cool, right, to get somebody from a sort of different career path into the credit union marketplace. You said it yourself, that diversity of talent and profession is good for the credit union marketplace.
Absolutely. I mean, whether it's retail or dancing or sports or any really, the more the merrier as far as diversity goes. I mean, we see that here in Southeast Florida. And at other credit unions I've worked at in the past, you know, obviously the more you get, that's greater input, greater ideas, and you know, especially from retail, there's some fantastic strategies going on, and even old school ideas back in, you know, we talked about this before, but you think about the Turkish markets and the markets in the Middle East, those open air markets, and people use scents and they, you know, as far as different smells to get people attracted to come into the retail space or to stay a little bit longer in the retail space. It's really quite amazing what that can provide as far as ideas and strategies to the credit union.
Well, listen, again, I want to say it one more time. You and I have known each other quite well. You know, Troy's been involved in his PhD program pretty much the entire time we've been doing the program. I know this has not been an 18-month journey for you. It spans several jobs and a lot of time, and you've got a family yourself. Really, congratulations. It's a big deal. I love celebrating results because I'm not a big fan of intentions. I like results. I like to see the details on the wall and the items in the resume. Thank you so much for jumping in today and co-hosting the show.
It's my pleasure anytime. Have a great day.
Everybody else, until next we speak, I'll be out in Primeway Federal Credit Union next week, and we will talk to you all next week. This is the Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? And I promise we're going to get this new audio stuff figured out. Talk to you next week. Bye, everybody.
That's all, folks.